My lord, you were present at the divination of the mazes of Amun-Ra. You know of the dire charge placed upon me by the gods. You know that I can never flout their express wishes, and that therefore I am committed to your interest. I had good reason to assist the boy in what was only, after all, a harmless escapade. Narjo was not so easily placated. He was still furious that Nefer had given Asmor the slip and managed to spend the morning out in the swamps with the Hyksosian princess. "How can I believe that when you aided Nefer? Nay, you instigated this piece of folly. My lord regent, you must realize how crucial to our enterprise it is that I retain the young pharaoh's complete trust. If I appear to flout your orders and authority, then this will make the boy believe that I am still his man. It will make the difficult task laid upon me by the mazes easier to accomplish." Diplomatically, Taita turned aside each of the regent's accusations, until he was no longer ranting but merely grumbling bitterly. "It must not happen again, Magus. I, of course, trust your loyalty. You would be a fool indeed to fly against the express strictures of the gods. However, in future, when Nefer leaves his quarters, he must be accompanied by Asmor and a full escort of his men. I cannot take the chance that he will disappear.
My lord, how goes the negotiation with the shepherd chieftain? Is there aught that I can do to help you ensure a successful outcome in this matter?"
Adroitly, Taita set the hounds on a different scent, and Narja followed them. "Pepe is indisposed. This morning he had a coughing fit so intense he brought up blood and had to leave the conference chamber. Even though he cannot attend himself, he will not let any other speak on his behalf, not even Lord Trock, who usually has his confidence. Only the gods know how long it'll be before the Great Bear returns to the conference. We may be forced away days or even weeks."
"What is a Pepe's ailment?" Taita asked.
"I don't know." Narja broke off as an idea occurred to him. "Why did I not think of it before? With your skills, you'll be able to cure whatever ails him. Go to him at once, Magus, and do your utmost." As he approached the king's apartments, Taita could hear a Pepe from across the courtyard. He sounded like a black-maned lion caught in a trap, and the roars grew louder as Taita entered the chamber. As he stepped over the threshold, he was almost knocked over by three priests of Osiris, fleeing the royal presence in terror, and a heavy bronze bowl crashed into the doorsill. It had been thrown across the room by the Hyksosian king, who sat naked on a muddle of furs and tangled bedsheets in the middle of the chamber.
"Where have you been, warlock?" he roared as soon as he saw Taita. "I sent Trock to find you before dawn. Why did you come only in the middle of the afternoon to save me from these infernal priests with their stinking poisons and hot tongs?"
"I have not seen Trock," Taita explained. "But I came as soon as Lord Narja told me that you were indisposed."
"Indisposed? I'm not indisposed, warlock. I'm at the point of death."
"Let's see what can be done to save you."
A Pepe rolled over on his hairy belly, and Taita saw the grotesque purple swelling on his back. It was the size of both the king's bunched fists. When he touched it lightly with a fingertip, a Pepe bellowed again and broke out in a running sweat.
"Gently, Taita! You're as bad as all the priests in Egypt together!"
"How did this come about?"
Taita stepped back.
"What were your symptoms?"
"I started with a bit of pain in my chest."
A Pepe touched it.
"Then I started coughing, and the pain became sharper. I felt something move in here, and then the pain seemed to move to my back, and there was this lump."
He reached over his shoulder with one hand to touch the swelling, and groaned again. Before going further, Taita administered a draught of the red shepan, the sleeping flower. It was a draught that would have knocked a baby elephant off its feet, but though Apepe's eyes crossed and his voice was slurred, he was still lucid. Taita palpated the swelling again, and the king groaned but made no other protest. "There's some foreign object lodged deep in your flesh, my lord," he stated at last.
"This comes as no great surprise to me, Warlock. Evil men, most of them Egyptians, have been sticking foreign objects into my flesh since I last sucked on my wet nurse's paps.
I would have thought it was an arrowhead or a blade. But there's no entry wound," Taita mused.
"Use your eyes, fellow. I'm covered with them."
The king's hairy carcass was indeed laced and blotched with old battle scars. "I'm going to cut for it," Taita warned him. Apipi snarled.
"Do it, Warlock, and stop yapping about it."
While Taita selected a bronze scalpel from his chest, Apepe picked up his thick leather belt from the floor and doubled the length of it. He bit down on it and composed himself to the knife.
"Come here," Taita called to the guards at the door. "Come and hold the king." "Oh, get out, you idiots,"
Apepe countermanded the order.
"I need no man to hold me still."
Taita stood over him, calculated the angle and depth of the cut, then made one swift, deep incision. Apepe let out a muffled bellow from between clamped teeth, but did not move. Taita stood back as a mountain of dark blood and thick yellow pus erupted from the wound. A gut-wrenching stench filled the chamber. Taita laid aside the scalpel and ran his forefinger deep into the opening. Blood bubbled up around it, but he felt something hard and sharp in the bottom of the incision. He picked up the ivory forceps that he'd placed ready to hand, and probed the opening until he felt the tip strike something solid. Apepe had stopped yelling, and he lay without movement except for the involuntary shuddering of his back muscles. He breathed with loud, porcine snuffles through his nose. At the third attempt, Taita gripped the object with the jaws of the forceps and tugged at it until he felt it give and start to rise towards the surface. It came out, the last inch, with a rush of pus and detritus, and Taita held it up so that the light from the window fell upon it. "An arrowhead," he announced. "It's been in there a long time. I'm amazed it did not mortify years ago." Apepe spat out the belt and sat up, chuckling shakily.
"By the hairy testicles of Suez, I recognize that pretty little bauble. One of your ruffians shot that into me at Abnab 10 years ago. At the time, my surgeon said it lay so close to my heart that they could not reach it. So they left it in. And I've been gestating it ever since."
He took the triangle of shaped flint from Taita's bloody fingers and beamed at it with proprietary pride.
"I feel like a mother with her firstborn. I'll have it made into a charm to wear round my neck on a gold chain. You can weave a spell over it that should ward off any other missiles. What do you think, Warlock?"
"I'm sure it'll prove highly efficacious, my lord."
Taita filled his mouth with hot wine and honey from the bowl he had prepared, and used a hollow brass tube to syringe out the pus and blood, squirting it deep into the wound.
"What a waste of good wine,"
Apepe said, lifted the bowl with both hands and drained the remainder of the contents to the dregs. He hurled it against the far wall and belched.
"Now, as a reward for your services, I have an amusing tale for you, Warlock. It harks back to our last conversation on the top of the tower at Bubasti."
"I'm listening with fixed attention to your lordship's every word."
Taita bent over him and began to bandage the open wound with linen strips, murmuring the incantation for the binding up of wounds as he did so. "I bind thee up, thing of Seth. I stop thy red mouth, thing of great evil."
Apepe interrupted harshly.
"Trok has offered a lakh of gold as a bride price for Mintaka."
Taita's hand stopped moving. He stood with the bandage wound half around Apepe's barrel chest.
"What did you answer, Majesty?"
He was so distressed that the royal title slipped out before he could check himself. This was a dangerous and unforeseen development.
"I told him the bride price was 5 lakhs," Apepi grinned. The dog is so hot from my little bitch that his prong's standing up between his eyes and blinding him. But despite the booty he's stolen from me over the years, even he can never find 5 lakhs. He belched again. Do not worry, Morlock. Mintaka is too valuable to waste on someone like Trok. I can use her to chain your little pharaoh into my realm. He stood up and lifted one thickly muscled arm, trying to peer under it at his bandaged back, like an old rooster with its head under its wing. You made me into a mummy before my time, he laughed. It's a neat job. Go and tell your regent that I am ready to risk another whiff of his perfume, and I'll meet him in the conference chamber again in an hour's time.